Lofton, gonna try something new here, okay? Really would be as if I went this way and made you all see what was on the screen, right? Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have to say, it seems all too often that the sermon starts with embarrassing stories of my humanity. It's a good thing I don't mind sharing embarrassing stories of my humanity if it helps you understand the Gospels better. But this morning I tell you that I clearly, very clearly, remember the very first time I ran out of gas as I was driving my dad's little red Ranger. Ironically, I was almost exactly halfway between my house and the gas station. This was long ago enough that there were no cell phones. There's no ability to call and ask somebody to get you gas. So I had to pick, walk home and call somebody for help, or walk down to the gas station and then back up the hill hauling gas along with me. I cannot tell you how long I sat in that truck trying to figure out which was the best decision. The walk to get gas and hauling it, or the embarrassment of calling for help. Well, what I should have been doing in that time of discernment was learning how to not let my gas tank get so critically low that I would run out of gas. A lesson I have to tell you, I am still yet to learn. I'm one of those, I believe there are two types of people, those that like get to a quarter tank and fill up. Then there's those people like me who like to see the red line get below the red line, right? I have one of those vehicles that counts the miles until you're on empty, and I don't know how often it is that I get to like 5 miles, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, maybe I should get gas now, right? Yeah, it's very often it gets to zero and I go rolling into the gas station. I like to push to the very last drop. That's just how I am. Now, allowing my tank to run to near empty is not the smartest of moves, as it stops my car in its track. And ignoring my body in the same way can have the same result, can't it? Not eating enough, not drinking enough water, not sleeping enough can stop our bodies just as much as an empty tank can stop our cars. Now, Jesus understood this physical emptiness, as we see in our story this morning. Here he stood in front of the crowds in a remote, secluded town today called Tabgha, finishing a long day of preaching and healing and caring for the crowd that came. It came time for the physical feeding of the people. And the disciples knew that the crowd had to leave the remote area to find such sustenance. But Jesus, of course, had other and better plans, didn't he? Jesus called for a gift, and a humble gift of 5 loaves and 2 fish came forward. Enough for 1, 2, 10 people? We will never know. But what we do know, it was not nearly enough to feed the thousands that were there. We know it wasn't enough, but Jesus knew that it was. Blessing it, he sent the disciples to serve the meal, go in and amongst the people and care for them, right? The disciples worked their way through the crowd, giving everyone what they needed until the gospel says they were full, some saying satisfied. They had what they needed. And the disciples came back, not with empty baskets and not with disappointing news of running out, but what did they have but leftovers, right? How could this be? Too often we breeze by the details, don't we? But let's sit for a minute and realize the magnitude of this miracle. Too many people will testify there isn't enough food in this world. Just the other day, I sat at a red light, and I looked over, and I saw a homeless man heading towards a trash can. I saw him look in and move a few papers to the side and reach in and pull out what but a half drunk, melted chocolate milkshake. He proceeded to drink it with such great satisfaction, and my heart was absolutely broken. I looked around my vehicle to see if I had something, anything that I could give him that was better than this discarded hand-me-down milkshake, and I couldn't find anything, and my heart broke once again. And I was reminded of how many people like him are hungry every day, willing to scavenge in trash cans for discards and things we would never consider eating. Because somehow in this world, there's not enough food to go around. We know whether or not we realize it, the miracle of food. Open our pantries, open our fridges, and there it is. What you want isn't there? Go ahead, head to the store and find what you need. It's a miracle, because the world is filled with limited resources, and full bellies on a daily basis is a miracle and a blessing from God in itself. Jesus took on that day what wasn't humanly possible and made a miracle that filled the empty and even had enough for more. Jesus is the Savior of abundance. No matter how we might explain it, explain that story as you will. But it was a miracle. And it's not a one-time event in the Gospels. Here we are in Matthew 14 and in Matthew 15, Jesus does the exact same thing with a little boy's lunch, feeding 4,000 people. And that miracle has not stopped today. Pastoring in San Jacinto was a real learning experience for young Pastor Stacy. Partway through my time, we got called to feed the hungry and fill the empty. And we took this mission on even though we had really limited resources in that church. Time and time again it happened. We would plan the meal, we would shop, getting exactly what we felt we needed for the numbers that we predicted we were going to have. We counted out the servings right down to the last grain of rice. And it seems like every time the crowd was way bigger than we expected. More bellies that needed feeding, and people that couldn't just go home and get something if we ran out. We would worry and we would stress and we would say, how are we going to do this, as we looked at the crowd. But nonetheless, we wouldn't reduce our portion sizes and just knew at some point we would run out and we would have to deal with it. But time and time again, somehow we did it. We'd feed 100 people on servings for 50, and we would have leftovers to send home. We would sit afterwards in the kitchen completely puzzled. We would go over the receipts. We would go over the numbers. We would go over just how many hamburgers or pounds of meat there were, and we could never explain just how we did it, how the food stretched, how it multiplied, how it was that everyone got filled. But we would give thanks to God each time. And finally, we named our ministry Loaves and Fishes, acknowledging that Christ was in control and Christ was feeding the people that came. With faith, we kept to our work, serving those who walked through our doors, and Christ always made sure we had enough. I often sit at the end of worship, at the end of Bible study, thinking about this biblical miracle of multiplication and filling up. And I sit looking for the leftovers to prove that everyone had been fed. We pray in the midst of our service. We just did. We ask God to give us this day our daily bread. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. The bread of life. The bread that sustains us, fills us, and gives us life. It is the sustenance that our spirits, souls, and beings need, like our cars need gas, our bellies need full food, and our lungs need oxygen. It is sustenance that is depleted on a daily basis by the day-to-day burdens of life and the demands that we have faced, especially the struggles and the trials of each day. Our meters run low. We find ourselves in this spiritually empty place that sucks us of purpose and joy and is an emptiness that only Christ can fill. Have you been in that empty place? Have you felt the darkness when you haven't spiritually filled yourself and you find yourself lost and in this void? It happens when we wander too far from the source, spending too long away from the well, and our whole being feels the effects. But here we go, running this life, believing that once a month is enough of a fill, that sitting in the pew is a fill that will do it. But Christ knows we need more. Christ doesn't desire a quick or partial fill. He doesn't want to give us a drive-through faith. He wants to give us the premium fill that cares for us with the highest quality and the lasting effects of a genuine spiritual fill. And that kind of fill only comes through a true and authentic relationship with Christ. Not a religion, a relationship. Those who gathered on the hillsides, those who flocked to the shorelines to hear Christ preach, weren't looking for theological solutions to a human problem. They were looking for a new way to live life in this human shell that we are bound to. Wherever Jesus landed, the crowds gathered, hungry to hear him, desperate to touch him, and wanting nothing less to follow him wherever he went to receive the life-giving bread that he was offering. Their lives were transformed and changed by the presence of Christ in their lives, a transformation Christ still offers us today. Are we feeling the hunger, the desperation and longing for a life with Christ that is more than a set of standards and rules for living, more than a theology to stand upon and a place to be on Sunday morning? Are we seeking a relationship that has a continual feeding of our spirit because we are never far from the source, never seeing ourselves as self-sufficient and independent, not needing anyone to rely on? Such an authentic and real relationship only comes when we open ourselves to experience Christ firsthand, to become vulnerable and real with our needs and to admit our emptiness to Christ. It is a relationship reflective of the Israelites' time in the desert, relying upon God to be their daily bread through manna and quail. They could not afford to gather extra on Tuesday to sustain them on Wednesday. They had to seek God's provisions each and every day. And God showed up each and every day, y'all. In no less way will God show up and care for us and provide for us every day with our daily bread that we need. We have to be cautious not to put God in a box, as God rarely shows up in the same way twice in Scripture and has yet to show a pattern of behavior beyond the pattern of dependability. God comes through fire, water, war, peace, bread, fish, healing, rainwaters, and rainbows alike. If you were experiencing any kind of emptiness, longing, or loneliness, then now is the time to have faith in Christ who multiplied loaves and fish and cannot and will not be explained in human words, but only in the experience of human hearts that open themselves to him. Today is the day not to sit back or wait or to sit out and give up. But today is the day to be the one who chases after Christ to the hillsides and the shorelines, to seek the one who feeds the hungry, heals the broken, and gives faith to the hopeless. Let us treat our spiritual health better than we treat our gas tanks, bellies, and bank accounts by filling up on a daily basis with the miracle of Christ's love that blesses us with enough for all and even leftovers for tomorrow. And let us not do this with a casual acquaintance with Christ, friending him on Facebook and checking in every so often, but with a deep and meaningful relationship that comes through commitment, trust, and dedication. For we need the daily bread, and the daily bread can only come from Christ. My friends, let us pray. God, may we be the pursuers and not just the pursued. May we be the filled and not just the empty. May we be the ones who not only read about your miracles, but experience your miracles in our daily life. And may we be filled to overflowing. That makes all the difference, not in what we believe, but in how we believe and how we live as believers. Amen.